The Lord laid a burden on my heart. Kind of goes with the message this morning. When he started preaching it this morning, but desire your prayers that the Lord will bring the thoughts as he wants them and tie them together. I'd like to turn to Matthew, the 7th chapter, and the 13th verse. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. It says to enter in at the straight gate. The narrow, it says narrow, from obstacles standing close about. Christ is the gate that we have to enter through. It is through Him, He is the door. And there's no other way. We can't bring, it says here, because it says, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which goeth in thereat. The gate to destruction is wide. It's easily gone into. But also, vices are able to slip through that broad gate. The vices of the lust of the flesh and the things that can go through with mankind, that they can go through easily and not feel the tightness or the obstruction of it, but go through, and it seems to be that it's free and it's open. And I want us to think about that tonight, that wide gate that seems to be free and open. You know, many times when we think of people going the wrong way and taking the wrong path in life, we think of how that many times I think when people do go away from what they know is truth, the Spirit of the Lord will be there to deal with them. But once the Lord turns someone loose to go through that because of their will, and that's their desire to go there, many times, and young people, you'll hear this, I felt such a freedom, such a relief, the devil wasn't bothering them anymore. That is a dangerous place to be in. It is a very dangerous place to be in. But that straight gate, it's narrow. It's narrow from the obstacles standing close about. You know what? There's something about it. To go through Christ, it's going to cut across the flesh. It's going to cut across all the obstacles. It's going to stand in the way of going the way of Christ. And that is why it's narrow. It's why it is straight. And it says, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth into life, and few there be that find it. Down below it says, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Now, I want to take this, and I don't trust it won't be taken in your mind outside what the Scripture, the meaning of it. But I think the false prophet, this pretended foreteller, or religious imposter. And I would like for us to take it a little farther. We think of a false prophet as someone that is a preacher that preaches falsely, teaches falsely, whatever you may be. But I want to think tonight and take it a little farther to the greatest religious imposter there is, and that's the devil. He is the greatest religious imposter that there is. That he is a false prophet, and he is a father of lies. You know, there is something about it. It says, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. And my burden is tonight, is that the Lord wants us to be careful of the things that come, and it seems like it sounds good, it looks good, it seems to be okay, and yet it's not something that says ravening wolves. It comes in a way to devour and to destroy. It says, ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? And I want us to think a little bit, whether it be in the form that the enemy uses a person as a false prophet, or the enemy comes like he did to Eve, as a deceiver. To deceive her, he came and he used some truth and he took it in a direction that sounds so reasonable and so plausible as to why God would not want her to do that like she was to do. As to why it shouldn't be that way. You know, the devil is the greatest pretender, a fool foreteller, pretended foreteller, or religious imposter. And he is a father of let's not forget that. But many times he comes in sheep's clothing. He comes in a way that it doesn't sound so bad. It's got enough of the truth mixed up in it that the rest of it doesn't sound so bad. But you know what? The seriousness of it is that there's real danger in this. And I would like for us to go to Jeremiah, the 42nd chapter. And read something we've all heard before. But the Jews had been through different battles. They'd been in different wars, different ones of their leaders or whatever had been killed. And they came to a place, and it says, then all the captains of the forces, and Johanan the son of Korea, and Jezaniah the son of Hashaniah, and all the people from the least even unto the greatest came near, and said unto Jeremiah the prophet, let we beseech thee our supplication be accepted before thee, and pray for us unto the Lord thy God, even for all this remnant. You know, there's something in mankind, especially if they have a desire at all, to even look like they're going the way of right, that wants validation that what they're doing is right. You know, even if a person doesn't, there's something in man that wants validation. Remember the king that went to the old men and got advice, and he got good advice, and he didn't like it, so he went to the young men and got advice. And they gave him the wrong advice, and there was real repercussions that came upon all of them before it. And I think of whenever somebody's in something, we all need some validation. We like to have some validation to back up where we are. And here they came to Jeremiah, and they thought him, we want you to seek the Lord for an answer. It says, pray for us unto the Lord thy God, even for all this remnant, for we are left but a few of many as thine eyes do behold us. Now, Lord help us. And this can get close tonight. Lord help us to think about it. If we're not careful, and we're only not even thinking through entirely what we're doing, but if we're not careful in going to somebody for advice or going for something, we can say something in such a way that kind of influences them in the way we think. And he said here, for we are left but a few of many, as thine eyes do behold us. Remember this, we don't have very many here, and you see this. Now, go find something from the Lord, that the Lord thy God may show us the way wherein we may walk and the thing that we may do. Then Jeremiah the prophet said unto them, I have heard you. Behold, I will pray unto the Lord your God according to your words. And it shall come to pass that whatsoever thing the Lord shall answer you, I will declare it unto you. I will keep nothing back from you. Then they said to Jeremiah, the Lord be a true and faithful witness between us, if we do not even according to all things for the which the Lord thy God shall send thee to us. Whether it be good or whether it be evil, we will obey the voice of the Lord our God, to whom we send thee, that it may be well with us when we obey the voice of the Lord thy God. Whew, that just almost makes you shiver. That's pretty strong. I want you to go to the Lord. And you know what? They spelled out. They spelled out almost their own doom in saying that. That I want you to go to him, and that it's going to be good for us when we obey the Lord. Whether it be good or evil, we're going to do this. We're going to obey, and we're going to follow the Lord. And it came to pass after 10 days that the word of the Lord came into Jeremiah. Jeremiah took it to heart. He spent some time before God, and God gave him an answer. And then he came back, and he said unto them in the 9th verse, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, unto whom ye sent me to present your supplication before him. If ye will still abide in this land, then will I build you and not pull you down, and I will plant you and not pluck you up. For I repent me of the evil that I have done unto you. Be not afraid of the king of Babylon, of whom ye are afraid. Be not afraid of him, saith the Lord, for I am with you to save you and to deliver you from his hand. And I will show mercies unto you, that he may have mercy upon you, and cause you to return to your own land. But if ye say, we will not dwell in this land, neither obey the voice of the Lord your God, saying, no, but we will go into the land of Egypt, where we shall see no war, nor hear the sound of the trumpet, nor have hunger of bread, and there will we dwell. Now notice here, this was their fear. They'd been through a lot. They came to a place that there were just a very few people who looked impossible. It all wisdom pointed that they go on to a place of safety. All wisdom, all that was in their, they had in their mind a plan that would work, and it looked wise, it looked real, and yet they wanted God's sanction behind that. And whenever the sanction came and said, don't do this, if you do this, it says, say no, but we will go into the land of Egypt where we shall see no war, nor hear the sound of the trumpet, nor have hunger of bread, and there will we dwell. Now, you know what? We can read this and think, wow, that is really, really strong, and I don't see how they went past it. But you know what? People do it every day. People do it every day. When the voice of the Lord, this was the prophet that asked the prophet to go to the Lord and get something, and he did. And we'll go on farther and find out that what happens when people had to go by their fear, go by, I read down here at the bottom, and I thought it was very good. It said, although the Jewish refugees promised to obey God's will, the Lord's message conflicted with their plans. Far too often, professing believers ask to hear only what pleases him, and so pray on erroneous grounds, expecting God merely to validate desires that are theirs and not his. You know, you say, I'd never do that. But I'm going to tell you what, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And in that of our person, you know, just as they said, we're going to do this, and we're going, they thought they were going to get an answer, and they were going to truly do it, because they thought, surely, this answer was going to be wise, it was going to be prudent, it was going to be right. And then when he told them, he said, if you do this, and now therefore hear the word of the Lord, ye remnant of Judah, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, if ye wholly set your faces to enter into Egypt, and go to sojourn there. This brings the fear of the Lord upon me. He says, if ye wholly set your faces to enter there. To truly, wholly set our face. And we're going a direction, and God sends something. He sends a word. He may send it through a prophet. He may send it some other way. But we'll do, if we have in our hearts set to wholly, truly go the way of our own hearts and desires, we'll do like these people do, and people do it all the time. It says, then it shall come to pass that the sword which ye feared shall overtake ye there in the land of Egypt. And the famine whereof ye were afraid shall follow close after you there in Egypt. There ye shall die. You know, when we run in fear, we do really tend to run into that which we fear the most. It says, so shall it be with all the men that set their faces to go into Egypt to sojourn there. They shall die by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence, and none of them shall return or escape from the evil that I will bring upon them. You can think, why in the world would they not listen to something that strong? He goes on farther. It has more, but I like to go on down. And he said, the Lord hath said concerning you, O ye remnant of Judah, go ye not into Egypt. Know certainly that I have admonished you this day. For ye dissembled in your hearts when ye sent me unto the Lord your God, saying, pray for us unto the Lord our God, and according unto all that the Lord our God shall say, so declare unto us, and we will do it. This is where the Lord sent the burden. Ye dissembled in your hearts. Dissembled means to hide under a false appearance, to conceal the real fact, motive, intention, or sentiments under some pretense. The devil is a master at dissembling. He is a master, and we are not qualified on our own to combat that. We need the Lord to help us. It says to pretend that not to be, which really is, to be hypocritical. You know, here it says, hypocritical in your heart. You use deceit against your soul. For ye dissembled in your hearts. You used deceit against your soul. You dissembled. You pretended under false appearance. You pretended you were going to do this. It says, pray for us. And when you pretended this, it says, and now I have this day declared it to you, that ye have not obeyed the voice of the Lord your God, nor anything for which he hath sent me unto you. Now therefore know certainly that ye shall die by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence in the place whither ye desire to go and to sojourn. And it came to pass that when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking unto all the people all the words of the Lord their God, for which the Lord their God had sent to him even all these words, then spake Azariah the son of Hoshaniah and Johanan the son of Kareah, and the proud men saying to Jeremiah, now listen to this, thou speakest falsely. Dissembling, playing around with truth, playing around with what God witnesses as his truth. And yet, because of our own mindset that this is what we believe, what we feel, and this is why, do you know what? I'm convinced these people were convinced they were right. You say, they couldn't think they were right. That is the danger of dissembling. When you dissemble, you open yourself up to a lying spirit from the devil, just as Eve did, that, oh, this is just something that's going to make you wise. You're going to know right from wrong. Well, she sure was going to know some right from wrong, but he wasn't going to do what he said. You know, the dissembling, the enemy gets in there. If we do not, Lord, help us to guard our hearts, for out of it are the issues of life. Out of our heart are the issues of life, the very things that's going to cause us to go. We need to guard our heart. Where is the love of our heart? What is most important to us in life? What is it that is going, whenever something comes up, do we really have the fear of God and all of God in our hearts to be able, when we recognize it, though it hurts, though we don't understand it, though we don't see it, though it doesn't make sense to us, are we willing to bow down and say, Lord, I don't understand, but I want your will? Do we really want his way more than our own way? Do we want his will more than our own will? Are we willing to submit ourselves under the mighty hand of God? That we're willing to listen to him, and when it doesn't make sense, to get down on our knees until the Lord can dispel the dissembling of the devil in our minds. The dissembling, the talking, the devil can come so fast and so quick and bring thoughts that, and you know what? It says, thou speakest falsely. The Lord our God hath not sent thee to say, go not into Egypt to sojourn there. Doesn't this sound like the devil talking to Eve? But Barak the son of Neriah setteth thee on against us, for to deliver us into the hand of the Chaldeans, that they might put us to death and carry us away captives into Babylon. That is just like the devil. This isn't of the Lord. He's telling you wrong. The enemy's put this in his mind, and he's, oh my, how the devil is so real at bringing thoughts that, oh my, somebody's talked to them and told them this and said that this is our enemy telling them to do this, that they're going to be able to put us to death. The devil is so good at that. He's so good at bringing thoughts, dissembling thoughts, that has a little bit of something there that could sound like truth. This sounds exactly what our enemy would like for us to do. He would like for us to stay here. He would like for us to stay in this place. And it sounds to me like he's turned against us. Do you know what? We can look at this, and this is so strong, but I'm going to tell you, this gets down to the nitty-gritty of our life. That the enemy is real. That he will come in, and like a flood, sounding and trying to make it look like that it's got truth and it's got to be real and it's got, and you say, oh, well, that's just, Brother Brother So-and-so talking. That's just Sister So-and-so talking. And that's not of God. And yet the Lord is coming with something, and he's trying to get something. Or maybe he's there to say, and well, you know, that person over there needs this, and that person over here needs this. And you know what? The enemy, it comes in like a flood to try to get our minds unwrapped around what God has for us. And I think of how here they were. They had in their minds so strong. You know what? We can have our minds so made up that we're right, that God can't get through, that he cannot help us. We can have our minds so made up that this is the way it is, and this is the way it's going to be, and that's just it. God will not surpass that because he gave us a will. We can say no, and basically that's what we're doing. We're saying no. They were saying no to God. And I think of the danger, and we can see the danger of how the enemy works through dissembling. And I want to tell us tonight, do you know, children and young people, if we turn against God and we decide to go against his way, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I'm going to tell you, wherever you go in life, guard a respect for truth. Guard a respect for what is right and wrong. Guard a respect for that. If you're going to go past it, acknowledge you're wrong. Acknowledge this. Do you know what the devil does? He dissembles. Because conscience is so keen. That if I go past this, that I'm wrong. And you know, the fear of what's there. Everyone in here has been taught truth. They know about heaven and they know about hell. And nobody wants to go to hell. Do you know the devil will take even a person that has starts to go away from God, and he will dissemble with them. This isn't so bad. It's not like what you've been taught. It's not that way. And maybe even the Lord dealing with their conscience, and they resisted and rejected and rejected. I'm going to tell you something. What we turn loose, God will turn loose. And do you know what? When we turn loose something, we lose something. Do you know, I've been amazed to hear of how that sometimes people can know what is right and know what is true. And once the enemy comes in and they turn something loose in their life, you can hear them say, I don't remember a bit of that. I don't remember any of that. Oh, I don't, you know, they don't remember the dealings of the Lord. They don't remember. You say, oh, Sister Karen, they do remember. I'm going to tell you what, if God turns something loose, when he said in one place that that they would believe a lie and be damned, in another place it said he turned them over to a reprobate mind, what does that mean? Their mind changes. Their thought processes changes. They are a completely different person. And you say, no, they don't forget. I'm going to tell you what, when God turns something loose, people do forget the way they used to think. They forget the way they used to do. They forget the dealings of the Lord. And it is as real to them. And that is why that song says, sin will take you farther than you want to go. And that's how it happens. When we start turning something loose in our lives, and we start turning apart, and we reject truth, and we listen to the dissembling of the devil, that this isn't so bad, and that's not so bad. Oh, dear ones, whether we're saved or not saved today, we need to have a fear of God on our souls, and respect truth. Don't ever get to the place to where you absolutely go away and say there's no truth to it, there's nothing there. And nor once, if we're saved today, we need to be careful. There are things that God can bring that we don't understand. If we cannot follow him. What, how does that scripture go with the horses? Or something, how can this swell into the Jordan? I think I have that all mixed up. But if we can't follow him in the small things,
How can we follow him in the big things? What are we going to do when he pricks something in our lives and we don't really understand it, but we feel the pricking of God and we recognize it because he's done it before and we witness that God is dealing here, but I don't understand it. Lord, I'm going to stand back and I'm going to wait till I see it. What about when we get into battle and God says, follow me, and it looks like it's not going God's way at all. It looks like it is not good. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't go with what God told you. How in the world are we going to follow God in the hard places? How is he going to be able to trust us with the big things if he can't trust us with the little things, dear one? And you know what? If we know you can't trust us with the little things, that doesn't mean the big things won't come. But when they come, we're not going to be able to do it. We're not going to be able to hold fast. You know, the seriousness of dissembling, the fear of seriousness when God touches something and we go along and we go along and then we say, Lord, I know you've dealt with me about this. And then after a while, oh, and Lord, help us. Help us to be careful to not try to tear down someone else's convictions. It says that which is not of faith is sin. And if you try to tear down somebody else's convictions, you have a responsibility and you can have blood on your hands. Because you're one, if that person goes past their conscience before God, even if that conscience is not trained right, they better get it from God. They better get it from God. Or they're going to go past something and never feel clear before God. But if their conscience is there, and then they go along and say, well, oh, and here I am back doing the same thing again, doing the same kind of things I've been doing. And then the Lord in his mercy comes along and he deals again and he pricks again and we go away and the enemy comes with his dissembling. Oh, that's just brother so-and-so. That's just sister so-and-so. This was just Jeremiah to them. Did I get the name right? Yeah. This was just Jeremiah to them. That's all it was. It's no different today, dear ones. But when God speaks and we feel the touch and he helps us to know something and then we go away and the enemy with his dissembling starts working and working, there's really nothing wrong. I'm going to tell you something, dear ones. There is something going to happen inside us when we turn loose and listen to the dissembling of God, that of the devil. If we listen to it, we may go on. You know what? Destruction came upon these people. I don't know if anybody here knows how long it took. I didn't find that. I don't know how long it took for that to happen. But I'm going to tell you what. It went on and talked about them worshiping other gods. When you start turning something loose, it doesn't stop there. Your reasoning changes. So your foundation for right and wrong changes. And there's going to come along other little things that you never thought before. You realized it wasn't wrong, but you know now you don't even remember that. You don't even think about it anymore like that. You don't see it like that anymore. You don't even think like that anymore. And your foundation changes. And since the foundation changes of what is right and wrong, then if this is okay, then this is okay over here too. But the foundation's off. So here you go, and you pick up something else. And something else comes along. And I'm not, it may be little things and little things. And you know what? People may go for a long time, and God in his mercy keeps still trying to work and still trying to bring them back to a place of where something they have turned loose. But dear ones, the danger of dissembling is you change with it. Your foundation thoughts change. There's one way. I am so thankful. That's why I ask you tonight in the fear of the Lord, before the Lord tonight, if you turn away, don't try to tell yourself. Don't listen to the dissembling of the devil to try to tell you it's all right what you did. It's okay where you're at. Maintain, I'm wrong. Understand, I am wrong. I am wrong. You know what? That gives a little foundation for God to be able to still work. But the danger is that once you turn something loose, the danger of it is what the enemy will work with that. And I know I'd like to go to a few more things before, but maybe not turn to them all for time, but we think about in Joshua where it talks about Achan. Remember how there was sin in the camp? And when they went out to battle, they couldn't win the battle, and they didn't know why. And he asked God, and he told him that someone has dissembled in the camp. Someone has dissembled. They'd actually lied. And if we go to Joshua, I'd like to read at least one scripture there. And God came along and uncovered it. Do you know what? That's the mercy of God. There is so much danger when God turns something loose and His mercy turns it loose and doesn't expose it. Because you know what happens? It empowers the dissembling of the devil. It empowers that lying spirit. It empowers that person to feel right and righteous in what they're doing. There's no exposing of it. You know, sometimes people, when they go away from God and they've been taught truth, there's such a fear there. They almost fear the Lord's going to come in and strike them down. I'm going to tell you what, it don't work that way. Very, very seldom would it ever work like that. You know why? God gave you a will. He gave you a will. And very seldom does it work like that. You get to where you get a little more hardening, a little more hardening. And your foundation of right and wrong. And you know what? Sometimes people that have been out into the world and have gone out there into things, even when they come back to Christ and their mind changes to the heart of Christ, God sometimes has to work through some of that foundation that's been gotten off course. He has to bring things back on course. He has to help them to start being able, because they have gotten so off course that they don't really understand, have the same foundation they had when they left for God to work with. And I think of how when about Joshua in the 7th chapter, and let's see if I can find the verse of when he tells why. In the 20th verse, and Achan answered Joshua and said, "Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent and the silver under it." Do you know what? He, his family, his animals and all he had were burned to death. You know what? We don't live in the same time. But I'm going to tell you what. When we dissemble with the devil, it does affect and pass down through the generations after us. It does affect. It does pass down. It can destroy a family. It can destroy your children. It can destroy, not only can, but only if they turn to God and their mercy at His dealings, it will destroy them. It will take them down the path. And I think here of how, because he coveted it and he wanted it, do you know what? The dissembling of the devil gives us a power and a feeling we can get by with doing what we're doing. We can do it. And you know what? If you get by, you'll go farther. You'll do a little more. You'll go on and think there is something about it. There are people out there that, you know, it's dangerous for somebody to get by with killing someone else. They become a dangerous person. It empowers them that they can do anything and get by with it. When some people do enough things and get by enough and their conscience is gone enough, they really have a sense of power that I can do this, I can escape it, I can get by with it. And you know what? It's a lying spirit from the devil. I was just Karen, I'm not going to ever get there. There is no guarantee that any one of us won't get there. If we start turning loose things in our life, when we start turning loose, we give the devil that territory in our life. When we give him that territory, dear ones, we are not the same person. We're not the same person. You know, I think about how whenever a person does something And they do that. It brings such a fear of God upon me. Because you know what? There's something about it. He wanted this and he desired it. And then he took of it. And then if you go on and God doesn't expose it and allow something in his mercy to come to wake you up at what's happened and you turn, then you start adding to it and do a little more and a little more and a little more and you go your way and it actually changes who you are. I think of the scripture that says, he that is often reproved hardened his neck and suddenly be destroyed and that without remedy. You know what? We hear that and think, well, I don't see that happening very often. I don't see people getting killed. And you know what? That's not the only way that happens. Whenever a person is often reproved and they harden their neck and they're suddenly destroyed, do you know there are people and many people in this world today that are walking this earth that will never have a good, clear chance to meet God again. You say, Karen, God deals with people. But I'm going to tell you what, if God turns you over to a reprobate mind, if he turns loose something in your life, it will not come back unless God in his mercy draws you and renews your mind to be able to think, to be able to bring back conviction, to be able to bring back an understanding. You won't have that. You won't have it. We can go to a place that we cross a line. We cross a line. And yes, God may come and deal, but he doesn't have the same thing to deal with that he had before. And your chances of turning to him are less. Because there's less of the fear of God. There's more empowerment of that dissembling in your life to make you feel that, I'm okay. How do people get deceived? How do people come to the place before God and they say, but Lord, I did all this. And he says, I knew you not. You know, dear ones, there are people that are out there and they're living a profession and seem to be close to God, but God has turned them loose to a deception because somewhere, somehow, when God dealt, they listened to the dissembling and gave in to it enough and was reproved enough until God turned them loose to go their own way. It's dangerous, dear ones. It's dangerous. The burden of my heart that the Lord laid on my heart tonight, it is dangerous to play with God. You may never have the same chance. If you walk out the doors and you turn down God, you may never have the same clear, precise chance that you had at that moment. There are people that go through life that their conscience is so seared that basically they are headed to hell. You say, well, what's the use of praying, Sister Karen? You know what? We're not God. We don't know who's crossed that line for sure or not. God does this. No, I'll take that back. We do it. God lets us go. We do it. We deceive ourselves. If we come before the perfect law of liberty and go away and forget what manner we are, we deceive ourselves. We deceive ourselves. No, I want to stay tonight. God is merciful. Let's think about what happened to Peter. Peter dissembled, saved and sanctified a minister of God. And he came to the place. I'd like to go to that because I'd like to bring some of that out. It's in Galatians, 2nd chapter. And the 13th verse, it says, I'd like to go to the first, and it says, in 14 years, let's see, I want to get the place, I didn't have that written down, it may take me just a little bit, that some that came in that privily were to, all right, the fourth verse, this says, but neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. but that because of false brethren unawares brought in who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. To whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. Now here they were in the place that these people had come along that had a spirit in them to bring into bondage. Well, it went on further, and it says, but when Peter was come to Antioch in the 11th verse, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. And God had shown Peter so clearly that, you know, righteousness can go to the Gentiles as well as the Jews. And it's good to eat and to commune with them, spiritually speaking, or whatever. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them that which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. Now, you know, we can be in places where something can come along in the spur of the moment and make the wrong decision and listen to the dissembling of the devil. And that's what Peter did. God, in his mercy, reproved him strongly through Paul. If he hadn't have done that, God probably would have come along and dealt with Peter anyway, but damage would have been done if Paul had not done something right then. Because of this, there's a spirit behind this thing of bondage. Never been in a place where that kind of thing was there? And you come and they're coming to look. They're coming to find fault. They're coming to, oh my, and you're on your pins and needles and then here comes along this thing you know they're going to condemn and go away and talk about you and say how bad you are that you've gone along with this. And the enemy starts working. Okay, maybe it'd be best for us to just kind of back off a little bit and go over here and just not eat with the Jews. And let's not feed this thing that way. But you know what would have happened? When they did that, and if it had been turned loose, they would have empowered that spirit amongst them. They would have empowered that spirit of bondage. Somebody else over here went away and say, well, Peter did this. Just like Barnabas was taken up in their dissimulation, it would cause others, and it would have hindered the truth of God that he was with the Jews as well as the Gentiles. It would have hindered mightily at that time when God was trying to work with that particular thing. That happens amongst us, dear ones. You know, Lord, help us to be careful. If we're not careful, you know, we can get caught up in something. And we can get caught up in... I'd like for us to think a little bit about our country today and what is in our country. Political correctness is so strong. It is so strong. It affects us. Political correctness can get into the congregation. You know, if we're not careful, the fear of, oh, we're going to offend somebody and so politically correct. I appreciate, and I don't like to bring politics in, but I appreciate those that will stand up for truth when they know they're going to be slaughtered for it. I appreciate that. Do you know what? It is so strong. The spirit of that has been turned loose in our country. And it affects us. It comes right into us. We can get to where, oh my, I speak politically correct. We don't want to offend anything. We don't want to touch anything. We don't want to... Do you know what we do when we do that? We empower the spirit of free looseness. Then on the other hand, if we get afraid of that so strong, we can empower the spirit of bondage. Why does it go from fanaticism to compromise? Why has it done that all down through time? Why does it keep going back and forth, that kind of thing? You come against one so strong, and we're not careful, we go too far and turn a little something loose. Come against the other one so strong and quiet it down, and we go too far and turn something loose. Lord, help us to be careful. Be careful that we are led by the Spirit of God and let God have free course. That we don't come in and shut up the Lord because we are so afraid. You know, we can turn something loose in our congregation for that. We can turn something loose either way. Lord, help us. It's important that we be careful that those that are in leadership and those, any of us that are in the place, that we be careful that we're not influenced. Oh my, you know what? This person was offended by that. You know what? Somebody close to me got extremely offended once. And a minister came to me and said, well, what about this? I said, I'm going to tell you, you didn't know they were going to be there, and I didn't know they were going to be there. And God sent what was needed. You let God have His way. If we're not careful, if one of our loved ones come along in that place, we're going to pamper that and say, oh my, just don't, oh, you shouldn't preach like that around people like that. You got to be careful. You got to, God is God. I'm afraid to touch it. God knows what He's doing, and He is going to be just. We pray for people. God is going to be just. He's going to be right in what He does, and at the judgment, He will be just. If we tie His hands, He'll do it another way, and it could be a worse way. Lord, help us to be careful. Be careful of what we turn loose and the carefulness of what's there. I'd like to go to something. Just think about Ananias and Sapphira. Remember when they sold their property and they wanted it to look like they were giving all to God? There were people at that time that were doing that. Ananias and Sapphira didn't have to do that. They didn't have to do that. It wasn't. It says that in there. I won't go to it for time. They didn't have to do that. But they wanted honor and praise of men. A dissembling spirit. Do you know what? They wanted and they were willing to dissemble, to actually lie, to bring forth something as though it were and it was not. They dissembled with the truth because they wanted honor. They wanted something. Do you know, dear one, if we're not careful, the wanting desire of men can cause people to be hypocritical. They can come to church in one way and raise their hands and they're so spiritual and they go away and they are not living before God. Go away and want approval of man, want man to think well of them, and they go back and they're a completely different person at home, actually abusive in their home. Do you know what, dear one? God looks down upon that. God looks down and He sees all of that. He wants us to realize the power of dissembling, the power of listening to dissembling. You know what? People actually get to the place. There are people out in the world today, and it is strong. They are one person in one place, and they will do, and they will do, and they're so nice, and they're so wonderful. And in another setting, they are completely different and abusive to those that they love. And you know what? In that kind of place, a person, the enemy works with a lying spirit and a dissembling spirit that they actually believe. They always have a reason for what they're doing. They always, it's always the other person's fault. It's always something else. It's always the other person. It's always, and they actually believe they are this most wonderful person. You say, how can that be? A dissembling spirit has a lying spirit with it. And it will cause us to be deceived. Do you know the seriousness of dissembling? The seriousness of turning loose things in our... Now, real quickly, I'd like to go to a few scriptures. In Proverbs, if someone will get Proverbs 21 and 29... A wicked man hardeneth, or is impudent, with their countenance, stiff-necked. But the upright will direct his way, or attend, consider, understand. The upright, you know, there wants to, in order, you say, well, Sister Karen, how do we not get into this? If we keep ourselves in a place before God, to attend and consider and open ourselves to God. Whenever the thoughts start coming to my mind, let's weigh it up to the Word of God. Usually, when the enemy comes along with something, there's something there of a check. Let's say, Lord, I'm just going to give this to you. Many times I've told the Lord, I'm confused. I don't know the answer, and I'm just going to have to turn loose until you can show me what's right. Because the devil will work on our confusion. And then the Lord will come in and start leading right. You know, when something comes along and there's a doubt in our mind, let's be careful of, if we aren't careful, we can go to this one, we can go to that one, and we can come up with the answer we want. Lord, help us to humble ourselves and say, Lord, I want your way. Do we really, really honor the way of the Lord, that we want His way, His will? Do we recognize it as it's right and the only right? That, Lord, it doesn't matter if I'm wrong. Will you just show me your way? Will you show me your way? It doesn't matter, Lord. It doesn't matter if it hurts. It doesn't matter, Lord, what it costs. I want your way. Amen. Do you know that will protect us from the dissembling path? You will protect us. Because when we will submit ourselves unto God, we can draw nigh to Him and He will draw nigh to us. And He will help us. And that right early. And I'd like to get Proverbs 8:28 and 14. It says, happy is the man that feareth, that means to stand in all, always. But he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. Happy is the man that has an all of God, always. If we have that all of God, to where we recognize Him above ourselves, our own desires, anyone we love, everything, we love Him first and foremost. Happy is the man that feareth always. But he that hardens his heart or allows himself to become dense, how do you do that? You know what? There's something about, there's a cop-out in confusion. Somebody at Monarch preached something like that. I remember how they worded it. But you know what? There's a cop-out in confusion. We can use confusion as a cop-out. I don't understand it. I just don't understand it. I don't understand it. I just don't understand it. If it's a cop-out, we never will. If we want to, we don't really deep inside want to understand it. Confusion becomes our excuse to not understand it. You think God doesn't know that? You think He doesn't see that? Oh, there are ones. The danger of dissembling with the Word of God, whether we're saved or not saved, we need to keep a respect for God's truth. We need to get in touch with Him so we can feel His pricks. And when we feel His prick and we don't understand it, I'm going to tell you what, there's some things with God you won't get until you yield it, whether you understand it or not. And that's the truth. You won't get it until you yield it to Him, whether you understand it or not. Amen. Now, you say, well, what's that mean? I just have to go by what everybody says, and uh-oh, cop out of confusion. All right? Yes. The devil gets you thinking, oh, I just got to go by her. You think I have to, I just can't. Watch it. The devil uses that confusion as a cop out. Back up and submit yourself into the hands of God. Amen. And say, Lord, what do you want? What is your will? And if He puts that prick there and you know the Lord is putting that, submit it into the hands of God. And then you know what? If you follow on to know, you will know the way of the Lord. Amen. You pray for me.